52. Keep your texts and questions coming in. Eamon Dunphy, you're very welcome.
Hi, Hugh.
Well, I suppose I just want to start at the bottom of the table, if we can, looking back after the weekend's games, because we know now that it's game over for Cardiff and Fulham. Both of them lost at the weekend pretty heavily, which means that they drop back to the Championship. But can I suggest, Eamon, that there won't be too many people unhappy to see the back of Vincent Tan and Cardiff this season?
No, I think it's great for football, and people like that are punished. The sacking the coach who got promoted, sacked him in January. They weren't in trouble. He's a good man, good coach, experienced, you know. And this fella deserves everything he gets.
You have to question why Solskjaer made the decision he did. It seems absolutely crazy.
It does, yeah. I mean, who wants to work for, you know, crazy guys? And not only that, he changed the team strip, you know, from blue to red. I mean, this is their strip they've been playing in forever. No respect for the game, no respect for the club, no respect for the coach, and ultimately no respect for the fans or indeed for the manager.
Yeah, and he's lost a lot of money, you'd imagine, as well. It could be a while before Cardiff get back up. Fulham's managerial changes also drew a fair bit of criticism, not least from their own supporters. They lost 4-0 to Stoke over the weekend, and it just seemed like the players didn't try at all. Here's their manager, Felix Magath. Let's listen to what he had to say after the match.
Yeah, never been relegated till today, and so, yeah, I feel very sad, and I have to apologise. Yeah, for not manage the situation. The club asked me to come, and I tried, but at the end, yeah, it was better than before, but at the end, it was not enough.
Yeah, sounds pretty deflated there, Eamon. And again, like Cardiff, it's a long way back for Fulham, I feel.
Well, it is, yeah. Again, they've had three managers, you know, discovered Martin Yall. They got Alex, sacked him, got Alex Ferguson, man, sacked him after 9 weeks or 9 games. And found this fella in Germany, who's been a good coach in Germany, but not the right way to do business, not sensible. These people just buy football clubs as trophies to fool around with. Who advises them? Sometimes they don't listen to anybody else. There's another guy at Hull, you know, who's at the same bracket, and they'll doubtless end up back in the Championship as well.
Norwich, they're still surviving by the skin of their teeth. They're hanging on there. The nil-all draw against Chelsea. Not the result that Jose Mourinho wanted, obviously, Eamon, but it keeps Norwich in it. But Mourinho wasn't very complimentary about his players after the match.
No, I mean, their record against the lower teams this year has been shocking. I mean, they lost Sunderland, you know, couldn't beat Crystal Palace, beat them, actually. They haven't got a real goal scorer. And Torres is finished, to be honest. They keep playing him, but there's nothing there. So he needs to have a think in the summer. He needs to buy a striker or two. And maybe he needs to think about his own conduct as well, you know.
Here's Mourinho. He was pretty entertaining. That's one way of describing it after the match. Listen to what he said.
Well, in the first half, we could do more. I think the first half was a waste of time. We played too slow. We play like the weather pushes you to play. Slow game and lazy game. So we lost 45 minutes. In the second half, it was completely different. We try everything to win the game in a situation where it was a bit of a contradiction because they need to win to have a chance to dream with the survival. We need 1 point to finish third, which is important when you don't win the title.
Not quite the fairy tale first season back that I guess you were hoping for, but next season's the season. That's what you said all along.
You know, I had lots of chances to have easy fairy tales, but I decided not to have it. If I want to win leagues easily, I would choose another league, I would choose another club with another moment that in this moment Chelsea doesn't have. So I choose with my heart in every aspect. The club I want, the club I love, a competition I like very, very much to play, a city where I like very, very much to live. Accumulation of factors brought me to make this decision, and I'm very happy with that.
You've told everyone dozens of times this season that you couldn't win the title, and the way it is, you turned out to be right.
Lots of experience. Lots of experience, and experience helps us to understand things. And at the same time, when I had the Villa game, I also smell that was even more difficult to do it. And after that, with the Sunderland one, game over.
Eamon, I find it hard to listen to that. I mean, he's making it sound like it's mission impossible for him to come in and win a title with Chelsea when they have one of the best squads in Europe, let alone the Premier League.
I think winning is what matters rather than coming second. You got to the semi-final of the Champions League and were outclassed in the end last week by a squad that cost nothing. And he's finished, you know, he'll finish second or third in the Premier League. And by his own standards, I suppose that's a disappointing season. But I haven't been able to figure out his body language or the way he's talked about the game all season. He's looked disappointed. Mm. He's looked sour at times. He's got involved in stuff that he shouldn't be involved in. He keeps holding these press conferences that used to make me laugh and entertain me. But now, you know, he has a problem. He's got aging defenders. I mean, John Terry's been a magnificent defender. He's cracking on. Petr Cech perhaps is as well. Ashley Cole, who's been a wonderful fullback, looks like he's going to play in America, which is kind of mad because he's still good enough to play for England, in my opinion. Frank Lampard, who's been a great Chelsea player, is going not last much longer. So I think the Chelsea project, looking to next year and the year after, is going to get tougher unless he gets an awful lot of money.
There was an interesting piece with Hugh McIlvany yesterday in the Sunday Times. I don't know if you saw it, but he basically had a real go at Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, I did.
Basically accused him of just playing negative football and dress it up any way you like, defensive brilliance, counter-attack, whatever you want to say. Jose Mourinho's style is negative, and therefore Chelsea won't win as much as they probably could.
Well, over the period, his period as a coach, keeping, you know, defence, keeping things tight, has always been a first principle with him. Even at Inter Milan, he did it. You can't do it at Real Madrid, and that didn't really work out for him. But he's always been a coach, and I think rightly, if you go to Chelsea, when he went to Chelsea, you know, they had these wonderful defenders, and, you know, his teams always invariably won 1-0 at home, 1-0 on the road. Even this year, I mean, they went to Manchester City, got a 1-0 there. I think how you play depends on the players you've got, and the Chelsea side he now has don't have many gifted attacking forwards. Don't have any, actually. Really. Hazard, okay, yeah, he's okay. He needs someone like Falcao. He needs another. I think this guy Schürrle is a good player, but then just when he gets forwards, Hugh, he's going to be, I think, losing, you know, stalwarts like Lampard, and like John Terry, who were critical in the dressing room. So he's in a tough spot at the moment by the standards he set for himself. But I do think, you know, he's got a good relationship with players. The result they got at Anfield, I think, was without their best team on the field, you know, was a masterclass in defending and counter-attacking. So I have respect for him, but sometimes you feel like putting your earmuffs in.
Yeah.
The press, you see, they find him very quotable. They find him entertaining. He's good copy. So, you know, I think he plays up on to that.
Would you rather have someone like, say, Arsene Wenger, who never criticises his players, ever? He doesn't even see when they do bad things. Or someone like Jose Mourinho, who will actually stand up and say, yeah, Eden Hazard was atrocious during that match. He was lazy.
Well, this is what has changed. He never used to do that, Hugh.
Yeah.
He was always totally loyal to his players.
That's
he never,
true, yeah.
ever used to do that. Now, Hazard, I thought, was really seriously culpable for certainly the first goal that Atletico scored last week. Mm-hmm. So that's the frustration that's obvious on his face all season, I think, is unusual for him. And certainly, as you say, criticising his players is unusual for him. Not many people in the game like him, other coaches, players from other clubs. His own players have always loved him. Drogba, Terry, Lampard. I mean, these guys are serious men, you know, and he's always got the best out of them. So he has qualities, there's no doubt about that. But I think a lot of things, you know, as a coach, a lot of what you can do depends on the players at your disposal. And I don't think they have the players at the moment, the attacking players, to win things. But look where he's, you know, he still had what would be a respectable season by anybody's standards.
Okay, we'll move on to Manchester City if we can, because they kept their nerve, if you like, when it looked like Everton might just get the better of them early on, particularly when they took that lead. Here's a very relieved Manuel Pellegrini after the final whistle.
Yes, a good result, because I think that was a very tough game. As we thought from the beginning, that Everton will play this game thinking and what they can do, and not thinking if Liverpool wins the title, if they win today. I think that they play very well, and congratulations. They started winning the game with an unbelievable goal, that scored really in the top corner. And that, I think, that was the character of the team, that playing away against a very good team. We could turn the match and win in 3-1. And after when they scored the second goal, maybe that minutes were a little more nervous. I think it's very important that the Premier League, that for our team to, we must not think that the Premier League finished today. We have to play two games more on Wednesday and on Sunday against teams that are not fighting for nothing, so they don't have any pressure. So it's very important now to start preparing the game against Aston Villa on Wednesday. And then we'll see on Sunday if we can win the title.
And can I ask you finally, on Monday, will you be watching Liverpool?
No. We don't need what happened with Liverpool. I will be working in the game against Aston Villa.
Manuel Pellegrini there. I mean, it's still in their hands. Two more games to play. Two teams you'd imagine both at home that they should beat. But I suppose this Premier League title race has been anything but ordinary.
It has, yeah. It's been extraordinary. Even the match on Saturday. I mean, Everton's crowd didn't want their own team to win.
That's a what do you think of that?
I hated it. If I hadn't been getting paid, I wouldn't have watched it. I felt like turning the television off. And it clearly affected the players. Even Seamus Coleman, who's hard to affect because he's a great attitude. I thought it was awful. The players kind of never really rose to the challenge. If you contrast the way they played on Sunday, or Saturday rather, with the way they played against Manchester United in David Moyes' last match, it's a different stadium, it's a different team. Mm. So they never really put it up to City, who got three soft goals. I'd be very critical of Roberto Martinez for the way he sent his team out. Even in the second half, I thought, OK, get a hold of these guys at halftime. So come on and show them their wage packets and show them what they're earning every week. But no. And I'd be also hugely critical of the Everton fans. I mean, if that's what being a football fan is, that you want your team to go easy because you don't want your neighbours to win, you know. Well,
do you think Roberto Martinez felt a bit of pressure from Everton fans?
I don't know, because, I mean, you know, they lost at home to, who was, the Crystal Palace.
Or yeah.
They've had some iffy results. Jagielka was back for his first game. He didn't look right. So I don't really think so. But there's something about that kind of, you know, hatred in football that's wrong. It should be about the quality of players and you should go out and do your best in every game. I think it was very difficult for the players to do their best in those circumstances, the Everton players. And I don't like Manchester City, Hugh.
Yeah.
I think they've got some wonderful players like David Silva, Aguero, Vincent Kompany, but I can't stand Yaya Touré.
They don't capture the imagination at all, I mean, I have
no.
to say.
No.
Outside of their own supporters, nobody else really seems to like them.
No, I just don't think they're really honest. There's players like Nasri, and I don't like Yaya Touré. I think he's a bully, that he plays well against the small teams, but I'd never fancy him against a real team.
Mm.
But, you know, they're going to probably get it done. They should get it done. I'd give Villa. Villa could be hard work for them, because Villa are a good counter-attacking team, but I think they're just safe now, Villa, so they probably take their foot off the pedal. They should be okay. And, of course, Liverpool have to take care of business tonight. But it's been a pretty non-vintage year, Hugh, I think, Premier League.
Yeah, and having United so far down probably hasn't helped that, Eamon. We're just going to go across because Guy Swindles is here. Team news ahead of Liverpool against Crystal Palace tonight, Guy.
Yeah, just one change for either team, Hugh. Perhaps unsurprisingly, as far as Liverpool are concerned, Daniel Sturridge, despite having that hamstring problem, is back in the starting 11. Interestingly, though, he replaces Coutinho, perhaps rather than Lucas, who many people thought might drop out to accommodate the striker. But it looks like Brendan Rodgers has decided he does need something defensive in this team to make sure that at least no silly slip-ups occur against Crystal Palace team, obviously have done sensationally well to stay in the Premier League, but perhaps, certainly from what we saw against Manchester City, could well struggle to really give Liverpool's back line some problems. Certainly they look short up front. There's no Jerome playing for them. Back comes Dikachoy, and it's just Shamak on his own up front. So that the team news here.
That might just add to the theory then that Crystal Palace are going to sit back against Liverpool, whereas against City they really went for it and they lost. They might just be happy just to sit back and say, right, well, come and have a go if you can.
I think so, and it's a system that's worked fantastically well for them. Of course, when they won those five matches on the trot, they attack at pace. They've got the wonderful Blassi on the wing, who can cause any defence problems and outstrip most of them. So Liverpool are going to have to watch out for him. But you just feel with Luis Suarez, who picked up his second Player of the Year award today, that they just have simply too much firepower. And if Sturridge is anywhere near fit, Liverpool should have enough. But I guess what we've seen from Liverpool this season is it depends how they start. They've blown a lot of teams away in the first 20 minutes. If they haven't managed to do that, as happened against Chelsea, then they can begin to struggle a bit and sometimes struggle for a plan B. So if Palace can frustrate them for the first half an hour or so, it'll be interesting to see how Liverpool actually cope with that.
Okay, brilliant, Guy. We'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your time. Eamon, what about that, just before we let you go? If Liverpool don't score early on, they do have a tendency, like Chelsea, like even Sunderland, when Sunderland came back at them, that they get a bit shaky.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that Manchester City did was they did get their early goal. Dzeko got a goal early on, and that, you know, kind of put Palace on the back foot. And, you know, they won't give up, but on quality, I would expect Liverpool to be good enough and to keep playing their football. They have a lot of quality, attacking quality, but Tony Pulis has done an amazing job at Palace. He really should be manager of the season.
Yeah.
If you look at him player for player, my God, they shouldn't be in the Premier League at all. So it's no gimme. It's a game Liverpool have to go out and, you know, go out and win. But I have a lot more respect, and just as a fan myself, I'd have a lot more time for Liverpool, and I still hope they get some now this league.
One quick final question, sorry, before you go. Suarez, he picked up the Football Writers Player of the Year to add to his PFA award. I was watching Cristiano Ronaldo last night, would score that equaliser.
Yeah.
If you're a manager, Eamon, who do you want in your... If you could only pick one of those two, who would you have?
Have to be Ronaldo on goal scored.
Really?
I think so, yeah. I think Ronaldo's going to be in the museums forever. I mean, I was a big critic of his for his temperament and that, but I think in the last few years he's become a wonderful player, and partly due, I think, to 2 years with Mourinho, ironically enough. I think he's become a great, great player, but I wouldn't deny Suarez has qualities that are absolutely staggering as well.
Okay.
So I'm glad they'll both be at the World Cup.
Super, listen, thanks a million for your time.
Thank you. 2FM.